Okay, I want to briefly continue this message. Bill, you can put it up and have a seat, I guess. I'll just get to it by way. Let's see. Let's use the other one. I think it's brighter. Yeah, we'll use that one. Thank you. I started a message yesterday. Last week I wanted to preach through Great is Thy Faithfulness, preach a hymn. So I started last week, and I'll be coming to this in a moment. And I said last week as we started that the way we made it through 2016 is the way we'll make it through 2017. And we found that in the words of the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. All I have needed, Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And then we looked at the chorus, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and I said I would come back and deal with the other two verses. And I'm only going to be able to get through a verse today, though, because I don't want to keep you here too long. But I want to deal with the next verse, verse 2 of the song, if you will, because it's all in the Bible. Amen. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for divine truth. And we thank you, Lord, that we daily need to hear from you. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so as we consider your word, Lord, let change and renewal and life, oh God, be experienced and be realized in every heart, in every soul, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The verse 2 of the song is summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. So today, I want to deal with summer and winter, springtime, and harvest. My God. Just those words all by themselves pick you up and take you into memories and places and times that you've had in summer and in winter, in springtime, and in harvest or the fall. By the way, could I get by way of a little short word, what's your favorite season? Spring, fall, winter, summer, fall. Okay, so goes, what'd you say? Fall, okay. Spring, amen, amen. So it's all represented. And, you know, really, I could take each one of these. Summer, I'm still getting my voice back. Hopefully we won't have a time like last week, but summer is a sermon title all by itself. Winter, you say for real? Yeah, if you have some software and you can look up how many times spring is mentioned and what's associated with, and harvest, the fall. All of these are sermons, so I'm going to get 4 sermons done in this first line, okay? Summer, winter, springtime, and harvest. Amen. Now, what we can clearly see is that Mr. Chisholm, who penned this hymn, did not live close to the equator. Can we say that? He did not live close to the equator. If you remember from last week, he lived in New Jersey. And there you experience summer, winter, spring, and fall. You experience all 4 of these seasons. Psalm 74, verse 17 says, you have set all the borders of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Can I help you? Whatever season you don't like, get over it. Come on. Learn to enjoy it. He made it. Hello? I said he made it. You know what? He made it so that really you can make it through. It's just that human nature, let's be honest, human nature likes to complain. It does. Human nature loves to complain. But you know what? There's something beautiful about each of the seasons. And I don't know, but I like the seasons. I like winter. I didn't say I love it. I said I like it. You understand? But no, you want me to tell you what I love? I love change. I like change. Some people, when I clean carpet, you know, for a living, and when I clean carpet, rain isn't the best thing. But you know what? When it rains, I say, Father, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let the rain. Let it rain, Lord. You send rain on the earth. Ask the Californians. They say, oh, please let it rain. We complain when we get rain. When you haven't had it for 5 years, then you'll be thanking God for rain. So thank him anyhow. Don't wait for a drought, right? Not only did God make the seasons, but he maintained the seasons. Psalm 74 says, you have made winter and summer. So not only did God make the seasons, but he maintains the seasons of the earth. Genesis 8, verse 20 says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord after he got off the ark. And he took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time or springtime and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. God made a covenant with the earth. He said, never again will I do this. He made a covenant with man. That was the Noahic covenant. He put the bow in the sky and said, when you see the bow, it'll remind you of my covenant with the earth. I'll never destroy the earth again through water. He made a covenant. And in that covenant, he said, I'm going to allow the seasons to remain unabated. See? And so, you know, I thought, well, let me get on the internet and have some fun. We know what winter is. But, you know, I tell you what, when you're working every day and you're working hard and a good old snowstorm comes up and they say, you know, you really need to stay inside. You know, we go to the supermarket and buy everything off the counters. It's bare, bone dry, because everyone's hunkering down. And you go get in your house that God gave you. You see, you turn up the heat, you start the fireplace and everything, and you're sitting in there all comfortable, and you're thanking God for the day off. Am I the only one? Thanking God for the day off. Oh, thank you, Father. You shut up in the house with your children and your spouse or whatever, and you just enjoy, you thanking God for everything that he's given to you. That happens in winter. That doesn't happen in the summer. Doesn't happen in the spring, typically. It doesn't happens in the winter. And I remember one day we had a man, the kids were, enjoy your kids when they're young. Is anybody got young family? Well, y'all coming up out of it, but enjoy them. Because when they shut everything down, one Christmas. It was snowing so bad. We shut down church and everything. It was one of those. And I remember the kids, we got up and we had an air table we had purchased for Christmas. You remember? And we didn't get dressed. We was in our pajamas the whole day. And we played and laughed the whole day long. Sometimes I think God gives families kids so that the father can revert to his boyhood. You know, it's just playing, you know, because I don't know about you, but the little boy loves to play, and we get to play, you know. And so when they're young, man, you play, you're running around the house, you're tearing up things. Wife saying, honey, don't kill the children, you know, that type of thing. But you're enjoying them. Summer, winter, springtime, and fall. Winter, it says, often brings a chill. Some areas may experience snow and ice, while others will only see cold rain. Animals find ways to warm themselves and may change their parents to adapt. In a similar way to the autumnal theme, winter festivals celebrate the return of light during a time of deepest physical darkness. You know, the time of deepest physical darkness is the winter solstice, right? It's the winter solstice where it's the shortest day of the year. But it's dark. Fall actually contains the darkest time. But the moment you get on the other side of the winter solstice, I don't know about you, but I look for it. I can see it in the day. I say, oh, there's more daylight. Oh, you see that? Glory to God. Hey, I come home and say, honey, it's lighter out. It's beautiful. You see that? It's glorious. It's a beautiful thing. The Indian festival of Diwali, which takes place between October and November, celebrates the triumph of righteousness and light over darkness. Some festival in India. Spring, the next season, is the season of new beginnings. Don't you like new beginnings? We just got finished speaking on that in Lamentations chapter 3, that his mercies renew every morning. So not only do we have a new day every day, but we have a season of new beginnings. Fresh buds bloom, animals awaken, and the earth seems to come to life. Reminds me of that scene in Bambi, you know, when the winter had passed and the birds came out and were chirping and tweeting, and the birds, all the animals were getting together and so forth. Farmers and gardeners plant their seeds and temperatures slowly rise. The timing of these changes varies depending upon location. In the hemisphere that is tilted closer to the sun, temperatures become warmer. Warmer temperatures means the ground, which may have been frozen over the winter months, grows softer and more yielding to plants. Spring is often marked by increased rainfall, which helps to water the infant seeds taking root in the ground. You know, sometimes you can take for granted all that goes on, all that he keeps going for us. You can just take it for granted. Animals that spent the winter in hibernation come out of their dens, while those that travel to warmer regions return. Many animals give birth in the spring. Winter coats are shed by those that sported them. Some animals may change coloration to blend in with their new surroundings. I love the seasons. They didn't have much to say about summer other than the fact it's the hottest time of the year. Summer is summer. Bees buzzing and everything. And I love summer. I don't like fall and spring so much because I get colds when the temperature's fluctuating up and down. But I like it. Amen. Autumn, fall, most is probably the most beloved time of the year for a lot of people. The leaves and the trees is one thing that's absolutely stunning. Stunning. God gives us all of this. He gives us the seasons. Plants may begin to grow dormant while the leaves change into beautiful colors. Animals might prepare themselves for the upcoming cold weather, storing food and traveling to warmer regions. Various cultures have celebrated bountiful harvests with annual festivals. Thanksgiving is a good example. Thanksgiving in the United States is a historical commemoration, but it has a spiritual dimension strongly associated with homecoming and giving praise for what has been bestowed upon us. I thought that was interesting because this is a secular website, but they did good. They said there's a spiritual component. And so, yes, we thank God because in all of the seasons, summer, winter, springtime, and harvest, God provides for us. He's faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. The reason that springtime always follows winter and summer always follows springtime is because of God's great faithfulness. Isaiah 45, verse 18, the Lord says, "For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, and there is no other. He did not create this earth in vain. He created it to be inhabited. And when you look at, now all the scientists say all of this just happened. But when you look at the fact of how the earth is created and tilted on its axis at a 23.5 degrees, that gives us our seasons. When you look at, is it Uranus? That's tilted 97 degrees on its axis. 97 degrees. Extreme conditions upon which you could never survive. When you look at it, then you look at the scripture and you say, indeed, God created this to be inhabited, this planet, this earth. Amen? Next line, sun, moon, and stars. We're getting here. Sun, moon, and stars. Again, each one of these is a sermon in itself. Sun, sermon all by itself. Moon, sermon all by itself. Stars, my goodness, sermon all by itself. Let me read. Genesis 1:14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons. God said, let the sun and the moon and the stars, let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light, the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. He made the stars also. Just like in a passing, you know, he made the stars also. How big, you know how big that is? He said, he made the stars also. Oh, by the way, why? Because the focus is actually on earth. But he made all the stars too, right? God is so, oh my God. Okay. Where am I? Let me get, okay. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Let me read a few facts about the sun. You've heard these before. Maybe some of you, maybe not. The sun is one of about a billion stars, excuse me, in the Milky Way galaxy. It's just one star in about a billion in the Milky Way galaxy. The sun accounts for 99.86% of the mass in our solar system. So if you put all the Earth, the planets together and Pluto and the sun accounts for 99.8% of the mass, which means is really, really huge. This is absolutely mind-boggling to me because and the scripture says that God put in the cosmos, he's expressed his power and his eternal Godhead. The sun is so large that over 1 million Earths could fit in the sun. That is big beyond our ability to even wrap our head around. I can't imagine 100 Earths, let alone 1 million. Then you take into account that the sun is actually orbiting the Milky Way galaxy at a speed of just under 500,000 miles per hour. The sun is flying through space at 492,000 miles an hour. It's around 2,600 light years from the galactic center. From the Milky Way center, and it takes the sun approximately 225 to 250 million years to complete one orbit around the Milky Way. 225 million years. That's how big our galaxy is, and that's only one galaxy. And there are billions of galaxies. Do you know who we're dealing with? God is awesome beyond your wildest imagination. You can't imagine how big, whatever you imagine, he's bigger than that. He's bigger than that. I mean, he's the scale is absolutely mine. And yet he says, I came to die for you. I can do all of this. Come Come on. And he spread it all out there so that when you looked at it, you could say, he who did all this died for me? That's how God takes light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, 8 minutes to get here from the sun. 8 minutes. The sun rotates actually in the opposite direction as the earth. And so while the earth rotates from east to west, the sun was rotating from west to east. The sun actually rotates more quickly at its equator than it does at its poles. You say, how's that so? Because it's not rocky. It's plasma. And so it moves at different speeds. The sun has a powerful magnetic field. And you're seeing some of it there. The temperature inside the sun can reach 15 million degrees Celsius. And the sun generates solar winds. And this, I've shared this at, I don't know if I shared it on Sunday, but I shared this image on a Tuesday night. Because the more you learn about any and all of this, the more you will glorify God. Be it the, I forget the term for the real small stuff, but be it the microscopic, the subatomic, and all of that, the farther you go down or the farther you go out and up, the more you learn, the more you will see God's handiwork in creation. This is what's called the heliopause. And I wanted to just share it real quickly. The heliopause is the final known boundary between the heliosphere and interstellar space that is filled with material, especially plasma, not from our own star, the sun, but from other stars. So now, what is happening here is this, the heliosphere is the solar wind that the sun creates. So when light and plasma is blown off the sun, it creates what's called a solar wind. This wind encompasses our entire solar system. The sun that you see, that little dot in the middle, that's the sun. And, of course, our solar system is orbiting the sun. But the effect of the sun's push, the solar wind, goes far beyond the orbit of Pluto. It goes beyond that. And you see Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, they have gone out actually of the solar system. Now then, but the magnetic field of the sun is so large that it pushes against what's called the interstellar medium. And what that is galactic and cosmic rays coming from other stars. Other, like their gamma ray bursts, what are called gamma ray bursts in the solar system, and they could actually, a gamma ray burst could actually destroy part of the Earth. It could destroy, if it was real nearby, it could destroy our whole solar system. But anyhow, the pressure or the wind from the sun is actually like a shield that is protecting not only Earth, but the entire solar system on out beyond Pluto. And the Wikipedia says this, outside the heliosphere. So the heliosphere is the big bubble you see there. Outside of that, there is a 40-fold increase in plasma density. In other words, there are cosmic particles flying through space that would, if there was not this heliosphere and the heliosheath, it would hit our solar system. There's also a radical reduction in the detection of certain types of particles from the sun once you get beyond the heliosphere, and a large increase in galactic cosmic rays. John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, you remember this? It said this. In verse 4, it said, all things were made by him. And not anything that is made, he did all things were by him, and he made all things that are made, such that He didn't create anything. You know what I'm saying. Okay. I'm getting tongue-tied here. I can't quote it right now. Okay. So he created all the things, right? And all these things for us in our solar system are contained right there. After that, it says this. Round around verse 5, it says this. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. In the Son was life. And right here is a picture. If you're in the Son, if you're in the influence of the Son, all this galactic rays and harmful and damaging things will not hit you because you're in the Son. John went on and said in 1 John chapter 12, he who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life. Now, all my life, I never knew any of this until a few years ago when I was on YouTube watching, because I love watching stars and I love astrophysics and all that. And I'm just minding my business. And I run up on this and I see in this the Word of God. I see in it the Scripture. That the influence of the S-U-N for the Christian is the influence of the S-O-N. And all of this out here represents judgment, represents is fire, represents that which would annihilate you. And yet God created all of that. But the Son died so that we could be redeemed from the judgment of Almighty God. And so as I look at it, I say, my God, there's a picture of you right there. There's a picture of you, but only you can cause us to see it. Only you can cause us to see it. Jesus said, no man can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And so there are scientists that look at this all the time, and they just go right over it. It just doesn't, well, you know, yeah, the Son, and I look at it, and I'm crying. I'm messed up because my Father's saying to me, I protect you from all that would harm you because I put you in the Son. I put you in the Son. So when we're singing, great is thy faithfulness, and we sing sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, it means it takes on so much more for me. Jeremiah 31 and 35, Jeremiah says, thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. He put the sun there for so many reasons. He put the moon, he hung the moon there. Psalm 104:19 says, he appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. Psalm 136:9, the moon and stars to rule by night. We all know that the moon tugs on the earth, right? That's why we have high tides and low tides. The moon tugs on the earth, and the earth moves and the water goes back and forth. And that's why we have high tides and low tides. But God didn't have to put the moon there, but he did. Why? Some people like to surf. You know, you get out on a wave, and when the tides come in, the waves go up. And all kinds of things happen because of the moon and where it is. The moon's gravitational tug on the earth, though, is slowing down the orbit of the earth, the rotation of the earth, by 1.5 milliseconds every 100 years. Which actually means time is slowing down a bit. Or the rotation of the earth is slowing down a bit. One day they say the moon's going to break away from the earth and just, from the gravitational pull of the earth and just go on its own. They say things like that, but. Hello. If we didn't have the moon, it'd be a very different place. It'd be a very different place than what we know right now. Number one, they say the earth, one earth day would be 8 to 10 hours long. You think you don't get anything now done with 24 hours. Imagine an 8 to 10 hour day. Because of no moon to slow it down. The faster rotation would cause winds of 100 to 200 kilometers per hour to sweep over the earth. You can't do anything in 200 degree tornadoes. I mean, you just... The tilt of the axis of the earth, the tilt axis of the earth would wobble, resulting in dramatic changes in temperature over thousands of years, of course, but it would be changes nonetheless. And so you see that the moon is there for a reason. God put it there, and it fulfills its purpose. Without the moon, the stability of Earth's axis would be lost again, and with it, our predictable temperatures. God created the earth to be inhabited. Also, the earth, I don't know if I shared this before, but the earth is flying, is orbiting around the sun at a speed of 67,000 miles per hour. Right now, we are traveling 67,000 miles per hour. And yet, we feel like we're standing still. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Now, join with all nature in manifold witness, right? A witness does two things. A witness sees something, and a witness tells something. Is that right? Okay. So in his song, he wrote, join with all nature. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness. Now, what that means is two things, that all that we just spoke about have to observe, because a witness sees and a witness testifies, right? And so just by its very nature, just by its very existence, the sun, the moon, the stars observe who made them. You're saying, but they're not real. I'm not saying it in that sense. I'm saying it in the sense that God created them and they are there. They are witness to his faithfulness. How so? Well, this way. When was the last time you woke up and the sun didn't rise? When was the last time you saw the moon not make its circuit? No, it makes it. It's witness to the one who created it. Psalm 89, verse 33 says, nevertheless, my loving kindness, God speaking of David and his kingdom, nevertheless, my loving kindness, I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. When God makes a promise, when God swears, hello, it's done, beloved. It's done. Now, he doesn't even have to swear. He doesn't have to promise. When he speaks, it is done. Right? That's our God. I was telling my kids earlier this, my children, they're not kids anymore, earlier this morning that, sadly to say, Bishop Eddie Long passed away this morning. He died. He's gone. And he said a few weeks ago, he said, God has healed me a couple months ago. God has healed me. And I'm healed. And I remember seeing hearing the video or whatever. And yet he's 63 years old. He's dead now. He's gone. And I told my children that, you know, when God speaks, it's finished. It's done. When we speak, however, this is why the scripture says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For all of us talkers, and I'm one of them, come on. That scripture brings particular importance to me. Be quick to hear, because we speak all the time and things don't come out. And I told them how, at their age, I was telling them how my pastor of this church at the time, he was a prophet. And I mean, when I say he was a prophet, I mean he was a prophet. But how many of you know prophets are fallible? Come on. You can't worship no human but Jesus. Hello. And so my pastor, he's ministering on Sunday morning just like we always do. And Sister Ashley came in and she was sick and he laid hands on her. He says, thus saith the Lord, thou art healed and made whole. 2 weeks later, she was dead. Okay, now, what happened? Either God wasn't right or my pastor wasn't right. And we know the case. We know the case. And so I was telling them how that day I learned. Be very careful. I mean, be very careful when you say God said. Because when God says it, it's done. Hello. When God says it, it's done. When we say it, when people say all the, there you go. When people say it all the time, I say, okay, we're going to see. We're going to see. Because we like to pretend at times like we're God. Well, the Lord, I really feel the Lord. Ain't no feeling here. You know, God doesn't feel like, you know, I feel like doing something. Mm-mm. No. No. And so the scripture says, once I have sworn in my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever and his throne as the sun. So what God said. So the sun is there. Let me finish. He says, his throne as the sun before me, it will be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. So when Thomas Chisholm wrote sun, moon, and stars and their courses above, they all join with all nature in manifold witness. Psalm 89 calls the sun and the moon, God calls them his faithful witness. So when we're singing that song, we're not just singing some words somebody just pinned down and, you know, no. It's all based in scripture. It's all established on scripture. So as his throne shall be as the sun before me, it shall be as established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. So the sun stands there every day, witness. I started getting up early to beat the school bus going to work. But I missed out on so much. It dawned on me the other day. You get up so early, it's dark when you go to work, which means I miss the sunrises now. My God, my God. That thought hit me. My heart began to break. Because the other day I was going to work later, and I saw the sunrise, and the sun threw up on the clouds, blue over here, pink and red and orange, and here come the tears. I'm driving to work. I'm going, oh, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, wow. Who are you? How you do? Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. This is you. This is you. This is you. You're beautiful. Oh, can't wait to be with you. I mean, that's what he does. His faithful witness in the sky every day telling you, telling me, great is thy faithfulness. Telling you and me, you can trust him. You can lean on him. You can believe on him. He's going to be there. He's faithful. He'll never fail you. Every day the sun rises and it witnesses. It's seen his faithfulness. It's seen and then it talks to you and I. Talks to you and I. The moon standing there in all its glory. You ever walk out, see one of those, what they call a super moon? You walk outside and you go, oh, my God, look at this. Look at this. What? Turn TV off. What you talking about? Turn radio off. Man ain't saying nothing. Look at what God said. Come on. You ever had it happen to you? Everybody, shut up. Look at this. He's talking. Come on. I see I'm breaking through to a few of you. Hello. He does all this every day. He's faithful. He's faithful. All of creation is witnessed by its very existence to the faithfulness of God. Psalm 72:5, they shall fear you as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. God's faithful. All one has to do is look up. Isn't that what he said to Abraham? Abraham said, Lord, how shall I know? How shall I know you're going to do this? God said, Abraham, come outside. Abraham walked up. He said, look up. Count the stars if you can. So shall thy seed be. Genesis 15:6. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And upon that, my salvation and your salvation rest, because we believe what God said. We believed his word that he sent Jesus to die for us. Though we haven't seen him, we believe. Amen. To thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Where are we at? I'm almost done. Woo, yeah. Psalm 36 talks, the Bible's full of it. The mercy and the love of God. Your mercy, O Lord, Psalm 36:5, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Oh, God. I love how God, the poets and the prophets use the imagery of God's creation to express his attributes and his goodness towards us. Psalm 57 verse 10 says, for your mercy reaches unto the heavens and your truth unto the clouds. Psalm 89:2 says, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness shall be established in the very heavens. Psalm 89:28, my mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. And then lastly, Psalm 100 verse 5, we all know this, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we sing the chorus. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. One more time. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, unto me. Father, we declare your mercy. We declare that your faithfulness is great toward us. And Father, we thank you for the grace of allowing our hearts to see the beauty of your faithfulness, to rejoice in your goodness and your mercies that are new every morning over our lives without fail, without fail. And so, Lord, we pray that our lives then, Lord, would be so rooted and grounded in your love as to bring you praise. Lord, as to be in a mode of thanksgiving, Lord, all day long, every day. Lord, for this is the will of God for us that is in Christ Jesus. So let it be, Father. To your glory we ask, in Jesus' precious and holy name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.